We're back on Downtown on a Tuesday afternoon. It is time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Mann joining us. Good day, Dr. Mann.
Hello, Rich. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you on this somewhat gloomy Tuesday?
Well, I'm sort of feeling my age, and this is, you know, it's like those commercials trying to prevent you from becoming your parents or whatever it is. I'm rejoicing because I have the same house as everybody else in Bangor has, and I have my in-laws have recently sold their house, and so we've acquired artwork, and I have one of these. I don't know what they're called until now, but in our dining space, we have this like rail, right, to hang pictures from, so that you don't have to go straight into the horsehair plaster. I've never needed to acquire more ways to hang things, so I had no idea what it was even called. Apparently, it's called a rail hook.
Oh,
what you need? You need a rail hook, and those go over the little rail up at the top near the ceiling, and you can hang stuff from it without. So this is 44, but it's cool. I'm delighted that I found it. That's
right, because otherwise, you know, even with a stud finder, yeah, it's hit or miss. There's a pretty good chance you drive in a nail, you'll actually hear the plaster crumbling behind it.
Oh, it's depressing. It's really one of those things every time, especially now that my kids are sort of, you know, they're getting older, they're wanting to put up their own stuff, and it's like, please ask.
Well, you know what you have them put up first? Sheetrock.
Sheetrock, there you go. That's actually a good point. We're going to diminish the size of your room by about a half an inch on each side. Is that cool? But you'll get up to put up your I was about to say NSYNC posters. Once again, showing my
Wow.
We should move on. Oh, this is awkward. All right. So, let's talk wine, which is something that is really
ageless.
Ageless, time immemorial, that's right. There's no point at which I can truly sound as stodgy as other people have sounded about wine, I don't think. We'll find out. So just to remind everyone, we sort of talked about all of North America, covered that. So I'm going to do our most famous and most lucrative wine region of California a disservice by just trying to kind of get through everything right today. So we'll find out how we do. So California, folks, we've talked, of course, a lot about it, but I just kind of want to remind everybody about what it is that makes California important, what makes California, California. Obviously, when you think about California, you know, you think about it geographically, as well as geologically, it takes up much of our West Coast. I mean, a huge swath, and if you sort of pretend that it extends down into Baja California, which does technically, again, geologically, you've got just an unbelievable swath of good arable land in lots of ways. And of course, I don't have to tell people that they're having massive, you know, problems with not just drought, but of course, flash flooding because of drought. And there's all sorts of issues. Viticulture is one of those things that can kind of make it. And of course, we've all heard of dry farming. We've talked a little bit about why certain places like the high altitude above Mendoza is really, really excellent because it's desert. and so it's kind of, you know, there are places like that in California where it's frankly like viticulture might survive where other crops may not do so well because they require more water. That's a huge, you know, that's a sort of saying a mouthful and writing checks that perhaps I can't cash. But it's, in general, I think that's one of the safer things, as long as, of course, they don't all catch fire. But it's a tremendously varied area. So that's something to keep in mind. How did it get there? How you know, we'll get to why it's famous, but we'll sort of hit the origins. Of course, California became important to us because it was one of the first places we could grow grapes, because of course on the East Coast, as we've talked about a lot, they had this phylloxera louse that every time they would plant Vitis vinifera, which is again the grapes we like to squeeze and drink, it would die. So California became one of the first really important areas where we could plant. It was first, again, Baja, California was the first place in that area where it was settled. 1769 was the first vineyard established in what we call modern-day California, but before that it was down in Baja. And the 1769 vineyard was in San Diego, so of course they were sort of moving north by a Franciscan missionary named Junipero Serra. So phylloxera, as I said, not originally in California. So when they started planting what they called the mission grape, which is still available in certain places, they have, of course, it's a little clonally different these days, but you can still try mission grapes in certain areas. It's not super tasty, which is why it didn't really stick around. What did stick around, however, were the varieties that were brought by people who were coming there for things like the Gold Rush, for instance. So these are the varietals like Zinfandel, which, as everybody remembers, is a Croatian grape, also found in Italy under the moniker of Primitivo, right? So they brought Zinfandel. They brought Mataro, which is the French Mourvèdre, right? So these hardy, thick-skinned grapes that could take the heat of California and were delicious once you fermented their juice. So that's really when all this was really starting to take hold. Of course, phylloxera did arrive late 1800s, very similar to Europe, and that really, of course, put a major dent in what they were doing. This is, of course, the time when other spirits and spirituous beverages started to surge. For instance, the surge in the hard cider comes from this era because, you know, people need to get their drink on. and then, of course, I don't need to tell anybody in the great state of Maine, which was the first one to enact this, prohibition then came, of course, early in the next century and just, you know, beat the hell out of people. Although, of course, the smarter of the wineries claimed that they were making religious sacramental wine, of course. So they were allowed to stick around. Franciscan brothers, for instance, some of these you've heard of, they're like, hey, man, we're making wine for Jesus. And they're like, okay. So some of them held on, but it was still pretty awful. Then you had, you know, the World Wars, you had the Dust Bowl. You had all sorts of things that were kind of wreaking havoc slash driving people to California, and you still had all that really, really good land there. So what happened to bring it into the modern era? Well, of course, it was the famous 1976 tasting of Paris, the Judgment of Paris, that happened in the Hotel de Ville, and it was attended. It was set up by a British guy named Steve Spurrier, who who was a wine merchant just off their version of Wall Street, essentially, in Paris. And he went and he got some of these American California wines, most notably from Stag's Leap and Chateau Montelena, which were the Cab and Chard, respectively, that eventually were declared the winners in this blind tasting. And it was a kind of an embarrassment, of course, for the French, because they were really quite convinced that they were drinking Chardonnay from the Burgundy region and Cabernet from the Bordeaux region, to the point one critic, when they tasted one of the California Chards, actually said, ah, back to France. Not quite. So it was a huge deal, and really the rise of California as this, not just good wine area, but you know, places like Napa especially started to rocket into the let's be quite frank, the price ranges of the aforementioned Bordeaux, Burgundy, etc. It really, you know, it allowed them to say, you know, we can charge a lot of money for this, and indeed a lot of them do now. But that said, because California has so much wonderful vineyard land, we still have a lot of wines from California that are not only palatable, but super delicious, that don't cost an arm and a leg. And so, just bearing in mind, when we're talking about appellations, if you see just the word California on a bottle, the grapes can come from anywhere in California. That doesn't mean it's bad. It might mean it's really, really good, because you have the choice of wherever you want to go in terms of ripeness and quality. And of course, as they shrink down, in going to a specific region, your Napa, your Alexander Valley, your Monterey, and then of course down to single vineyards. We've adopted that. But the term that we'll be throwing around now in terms of appellations is the AVA, the American Viticultural Area. So just things to, you know, keep your ears open for as we sort of make a mad dash through North America on our way to everything else. I'm sure I'm out of time, yes?
About a minute and a half left.
A minute and a half left. Cool. Well, then, what should we talk about? Really quick, I guess I'll talk about what I call the other California. So the other California, that is not your Chards and your Cabs and your Merlots and your whatever. Of course, you have what we call the Rhone Rangers. They are these folks who sort of stuck to that original, bringing over the Mourvèdre and the Syrah and the Grenache, and they're trying to find places, especially in places like Amador County, Paso Robles, where you are getting these absolutely stunning examples of more old-world style wines. And, of course, in some of these places where they're not as expensive, I mean, vineyard land in Napa is sort of priced most people out of the game, but in some of these other places you are finding younger, more dynamic people that are making, again, like I said, things that are influenced by old-world techniques, styles that are sort of, you can't do that in Napa, but you can do it in other places. And so that's really, really cool. So check out things. Look for instance, grapes like Malvasia, Tempranillo, and these sort of faux super Tuscans. All sorts of really cool things. So that's me wrapping up California, and I guess next week we'll talk about the Pacific Northwest.
Looking forward to it.
In the meantime, everybody take care of each other. Those germs are still going around, not just COVID. I mean, all the germs. So everybody take care.
All right. Thanks, Eric. We'll see you next week.
All right. Cheers. Bye-bye.